and welcome to Poetry Nonstop. I'm Patrick Widdis, and I'm joined on this episode by CD17, a poet from China, now based in London, who has an insatiable energy for life and sense of adventure which comes across in her sharp and impassioned poetry. CD moved to the UK aged 17 to study psychology. She cycled over 650 miles on a solo tour around the Scottish Highlands and Orkney Islands and has published her poetry collection, The Weights We Carry. Here she is with a poem from that collection.
Okay, the title of the poem is called Curses. Do you need a pill? Hand your power to pure chemistry deal. Lost your sorrow in surreal. Learn your values are just sexual appeal. What have I done to my nails? I look like the beauty in the tale. You are a mermaid with a tail. Why would they expect you to dress up in heels?
It's a very sharp and punchy poem. Where did it come from?
It's basically like my struggling of being a girl. Sounds very politically correct. But it's like a constant struggle, especially in China. It's expecting girls to be more obedient, more soft. But I'm just naturally very loud, very like sporty. So like it's always like, my mom is like, oh, why you behave like a dude? Yeah. So, and also like at the beginning, I said about, do you need a pill? Hand your power to pure chemistry deal. It's this thing, like, because you feel so much pressure of like who you are, and a lot of people like me end up like feeling very depressed and anxious, so they go to therapy, and then the doctor will give them a pill, so they don't actually solve your problem, they just give you a pill. And also the pill means some of the people, they feel so stressed and they end up like doing drugs, and which is like, I want to express like, oh, it's actually very sad, something very sad going on here.
Yeah, it addresses a lot of society's problems and has a lot of attitude packed into a few strong lines. And that's from your collection, I believe.
Yes, it's called The Weights We Carry.
Okay, great. And where did that come out?
So the whole collection is like the story. I go to solo bikepacking journey in Scotland, and it's something about, how to say, I want to release all the sadness in my life, and I end up become like all these 22 poems, and they all like are very, how to say, heavy emotionally. And I found like it can be all universal, because like lots of poems I write talk about my relationship, my identity, my country, and also something about religion. And all of this stuff is just a weight we carry that we can't be free to be who we are.
Yes. Well, certainly hear some more of your poems later, but I think they're very much a product of your background and the interesting life you've led so far. So we should hear a bit more about that. You grew up in China. What was that like?
Very interesting. Of course, like lots of pressure. I grew up in mainland China, so it's quite like we keep it very secret. We cannot use Facebook, we cannot use Instagram there, and also Google is not allowed. So we have our own stuff, and how to say, the school system is very very non-human. So we don't have much freedom to explore art. We don't have much freedom to be like get passionate about sports, because that's what we, like, people would view that is for losers. And then the successful people would pursue academic stuff or like business stuff. So since when we were in school, we would like study, like you wake up at six, and it's like a military style school. So we wake up at six and you study until 11:30 p.m.
Yes, I actually spent a year in China myself. So, yeah, I realize that there can be quite a narrow view of the world you have living there, but obviously you've broadened your horizons considerably. How did that come about?
Well, the interesting thing is the place I grow up is like a place with lots of minor ethnicities. It's quite open-minded, because like those people are not very attached to the mainstream Chinese culture. So that gave me the strength and the like courage to be like, okay, let's go, let's leave. So I learned English, I took the exam, I get into a university in the UK, and from there, because I still have the mainstream Chinese mind, which is like forced on me, so I have to, how to say, like always like criticize whatever I've been told and break free from it.
So you came over to the UK when you were 17, I believe. That's very young to come so far.
Yeah, it's like quite smart to get into uni when I was 17. Yeah.
So what was it like when you first came over? Where were you staying? What were you doing?
I just like found a student accommodation and I was staying by myself, and I don't really speak English very well. So I know how to take exams. So it like on the English test, I look like I can speak English very well, but no. And I'm always struggling in the lectures. I cannot socialize. And there was a big struggle. It's like us Chinese people tend to stick together because we can get lazy. We don't speak English. We just use Chinese. So I had to break away from the bubble. So I had to like I like my way of breaking from that is I go to the street and I buy burgers for homeless and I like beg them, please speak English to me. And that's how my English got improved in the first
Wow.
year.
So
Yeah.
sort of getting English lessons from the homeless.
Yes.
Yeah,
Some are
that's
very interesting people.
Yeah, do you remember any of the people you met at that time?
Yes, actually there was this one dude, like I think it's in the park. And then I remember the first year I come to the UK, there were like people doing tricks. And they will like you definitely gonna lose, but then they ask you for like £50, and then they do this like three cups, and you guess where the ball is.
Oh,
And
yeah.
they took my £50, and I was so sad. And there was this guy sitting like around, and then he's definitely homeless, and then he was like very happy, like very zen, and he was like, oh, did they took your money? I was like, yes. And then actually that is like what part of thing contributes why I like write poems. Like he was like, oh, sit down, I give you a gift. So he wrote like a few lines. I don't remember what he wrote, but it's definitely a poem. But I think the reason why I don't remember is because I don't speak English very well that time. They give it that to me. I was like, oh, great. Like even though I lost £50, but I have a poem now.
Great. Were you writing poetry yourself at that point?
No, not really. At that time, it's because I studied psychology and everything is so scientific, not really. And I don't think I have the ability to do so. And then in the last the 3 years in the high school, we don't have any literature class, so I didn't. And that was my dream at that time, to be able to write poems.
So, what interested you in psychology?
Oh, many things. How to say? It's something very dark at the beginning. Like I was like, oh, if I learn psychology, I'm be able to understand what people think. So like if someone have evil intention towards me, I can bounce it back. Or like if I have evil intention towards others, I can manipulate others. But then I gradually, the more I learned, the more I found like it's actually more useful for myself, because like I found every culture have something wrong psychologically. Yeah, don't want to be politically correct, but there is something wrong, especially like the place where I grow up. It's like collective, everyone stick together, and then if I still be in that society, I will never get independence. And because the study in psychology, I started to notice, oh, what is wrong with the parenting, and I learned to forgive what my parents done I thought was so wrong. And also I learned, okay, for example, if like a leader of a country doesn't behave, and it's going to affect the whole psychology of the country.
So what did you do after you graduated?
I did nothing because I thought I'm always like having the Chinese mindset. I have an aim. I know where am I going. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna accomplish so much. I'm gonna be so successful. But I just out of sudden when I graduated, I was like, oh, actually, wait a minute. You never explored what you actually want to do, and you never like sit down and give time to yourself. Like be comfortable of being a loser. Because it's interesting nowadays, like everyone's like, oh, behave, like we need to accomplish so much. And it just become this thing, like it's so competitive and with no reason, with no like a positive result. And then like especially myself, I am an immigrant. And then how to say, I always make like very wrong decisions of like what shall I do next, because I'm so anxious, I'm afraid to be average, afraid to be a loser. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do this spiritual practice. I'm gonna learn how to be a loser, to be relaxed, and to be like okay to be an average human being. Yes.
Yeah, that's a great way of thinking. But you did eventually do something. You ended up going on a cycle tour. How did that come about?
That was just like 1 month after I graduate, because I thought, oh, like in the past 20 years, I've done nothing, which I am actually proud, which is done for myself. So I'm gonna do something without anyone around me. So I went to this solo bike journey on my own, which is fantastic, which is how it leads me to decide, oh, just like spend 2 years do music. Even though, like, I never learned, but yeah, so that's my story.
Okay, so where did you go on the trip?
I took the train to Inverness, I go on the East Coast and go up to Thurso, and then I took the boat to Orkney, and then I come back to the West Coast, and I went back to the East Coast. A little bit below Inverness, I went to the place called Birkhead, and I went back to Inverness, come back to London. That's my story.
Yeah, and so that took a month of mostly cycling.
Yes, 46 days, mostly cycling, mostly camping.
Amazing. And what did you do along the way? Who did you meet?
Meet lots of fun people. Like there, I met like very interesting. He's not an old man, middle-aged man. He's always angry. I call him old man. He's into psychology as well. He lives in Thurso by himself, and he's like, how to say, I don't know. I feel the reason why we feel very connected is like we all feel very rebellious. And then there's like the thing is like there was a chance I can take the same route as me and as him to become a hermit. And live somewhere remote, do arts, read about Jung, and then criticize, write articles, and talk about that. And it's interesting that I met him on Hoy, which is like a island in Orkney. And then there was what that day was very very foggy. It just me, my another friend. And I bump into him in front of the bathroom. And I just like out of sudden, like I was like, oh, like it's like the I remember I said like, oh, you're seeing towards the sea and it's full of fog, just like how we face our unconscious mind. You have no clue. Like it's like, yeah, you probably don't have a clue what's going on, but you know what's going on. And he was like, oh, I'm interested about that as well. And then we spent like 2 days talking about it, end up like going to his house, like we cooked together, we went to explore the caves, and then like it's such a nice friendship, like 20 years difference, but like I still feel like he's so young, he's so full of energy, and I'm like brilliant.
Wow, yeah, it sounds like a great encounter. And were you writing much during this trip?
Oh yes, I was like, one of the days I'm not meeting anyone by myself. I always write either poem or like my diary. So I actually had like quite a lot. Like there was like 50 something poems, and I only picked 22 because other ones are not good.
So, after this trip, what did you do next?
After that, I come back to London. I was gonna edit it, but something very odd happened. When I come back, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna crack on making my album. I'm gonna like make this poetry book. And out of sudden, homeless person steal my laptop, and I lost all the files.
Oh no.
And then there was I also met this mom and her son on the trip, and so this boy, now he's my be very best friend. He didn't get accepted in to London to study in that year, and then I lost my laptop. I cannot work, and I invited him come to London. But we're like strangers to each other. I'm friend with his mom, and then we just like spend 3 weeks together in London. And then that is the so I skipped grades when I was in high school, so I always spend time with people older than me. And then I think there was something like developmentally. I didn't develop properly in some part of my psychology. So at the time I spent with him, I see like a mirror of myself. So I started noticing, oh, like for example, the reason why I couldn't like socialize with other very well is because I always think, oh, like I thought I'm so special, but then actually it's because I am afraid to, how to say, to see the all side of myself. And there's lots of stuff happening by the time with him. And after that, I started writing music. It's like I read so much about the words, and then the words actually cannot help to figure out a lot of stuff in the unconscious mind. Lots of stuff is unspeakable. So I started writing music, and that's my story.
Okay, so you've got your music, poetry, psychology, traveling. You keep yourself busy.
Yes. I mean, I don't want to work for now because I want to have a career. That I'm gonna be 100% like committed. I want to challenge myself all the time, but I don't know where shall I aim it. So I want to like try out different stuff. Like just in music, I spent years doing electronic music. I DJ, but along the time I grow, I found this is boring. So I want to like figure out myself first, and then dive into a certain area with my skills, and it's gonna be great.
Great. Well, good luck with all that. We should hear some more of your poetry.
Yes, okay. Give me a second. So I wrote this poem. There was like one night. I miss my boy so much. That's how usually a poem started. And then yes, I will just read. Torn apart by the longing in the dead of night, I'm left with a dark and eternal plight. My ordinary body remains, while my love's end is filled with weary, frantic strength. The sorrow of late autumn contrasts with early summer sun. As I try to write her name with a pen, I remember her voice, but not the words to say. My soul rejected by reality, become a regret in every way. I pay the price to be myself, take up a spear and letting my hair grow long.
I like that last line, and in some ways it's quite different from the first one you read, but you have these kind of shifts in the focus. You take the reader a lot of different places. So great to hear that.
Thank you. It's like, how to say, Like there's a 1 year difference b between how the book was written and the like this poem. I wrote it like 2 weeks ago. So I grow, poem grow.
Well, with all these things you're doing, I can imagine sort of constantly evolving. So I believe you have a writing prompt for us. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So my prompt is, when we come to this world, we have been told to behave in certain ways, acceptable to a certain culture. And we have been taught to think in certain ways that serve a particular aim of a society. We have been told what is right, what is wrong, what is valuable, what is not. We all felt trapped by the external criteria imposed on us at some point in our life. So I challenge you to write a poem to criticize the culture, society, religion, and the government that shapes you. Express your feelings. Do you feel rage against them? Do you feel sad about yourself that you chose to obey? Do you feel glad that some certain social cultural belief brings your hope? Do you feel protected? Do you feel free?
Well, there's a lot to dig into there. And I think anyone looking at that, they'll sort of have some interesting ideas, and hopefully that'll lead to some interesting poems. It kind of resonated with me because I'm autistic. I was only diagnosed when I was 42, so I've sort of lived most of my life in a society which often isn't made to accommodate people like me. So I was sort of kind of thinking what I could write about that. And I ended up writing about a situation which is fictional, but it kind of represents some of the challenges and frustrations that life can bring. So this is what I wrote in response to the prompt, and it's called Hoopla. My first throw falls short of the tabletop. The man with the jangling money belt sneers. "Here," he says, and plants a ring between my thumb and forefinger, bends digits into unfamiliar contortions, muscles tense to conform. My second try clatters against the back wall, and the kids nearby start to snigger. I know I must hold this pose, focus, take it slow. Then my arm jerks, a panicked arc sends the projectile too wide, too high, until it hits a post, ricochets across the stall, pinballs between pillars and walls, hits the deck with a crack, and backflips over the peg, with the photocopy of a £50 note attached. The man frowns, picks up the ring, says, "Good try, son," and hands me a lollipop. All I can say is, "Thank you."
Oh, so good.
Thank you.
So good.
Yeah, well, it's thanks for the prompt that unlocked that.
Oh my God. Do you sometimes feel like being a little bit abnormal is such a blessing?
Yeah, more so now that I've accepted that as part of me, and that it's okay to be different. It's even good to be different. Do you have another poem maybe to finish off with?
Okay, I'm gonna read this one. It's called Liberation. Answers, answers, answers. If I kept writing, will the road straighten itself? Who left the water empty, turning every black to blue? I wonder at the inverted world, feeling blacks in all. Will I ever end this journey? Forget me all into the wild.
That was CD17 with her compelling poetry and philosophy on life. I hope you will be inspired to write some lines yourself, and as always, we'd like to see them and share them. You can send submissions via email to poetrynonstop@gmail.com or via the website, where you can also find details of this podcast and all previous episodes, including details of CD17's book, The Weights We Carry. That's poetrynonstop.com. We'll be back soon with more episodes, but until then, thanks for listening and keep writing.